WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
Catalytic converter thieves are driving law enforcement and Chicagoans crazy. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. If you're in the city, chances are you or someone that you know has had their catalytic converter stolen. Since 2019, thieves have taken more than 17,000 of them from cars across Chicago. And that's likely an undercount, according to a new Chicago Sun-Times investigation. Here to tell us more about what she found is investigative reporter Stephanie Zimmerman. So Stephanie, just a little car talk to start things out. What is a catalytic converter exactly?
Yeah, it's sort of this oblongish device that's on the bottom of your car. It's part of your exhaust system. And since the 1970s, they've been required on all cars. Unless you have an electric car, you have a catalytic converter. And some vehicles actually have more than one.
So of all the parts to steal from a car, why are thieves targeting catalytic converters?
So there are some precious metals inside the catalytic converter. The converter itself has a honeycomb-like interior. And in that inside portion of the converter are three precious metals, platinum, palladium, and rhodium, and they're worth a lot of money. These metals act as catalysts to remove these harmful gases from your emissions. They essentially help clean the emissions that are coming out of your car, so they're really necessary, but they're worth a lot of money. Platinum and palladium right now are trading for about $1,000 an ounce for platinum, $1,400 an ounce for palladium, and rhodium is like $6,300 an ounce, and it's gone as high as $29,000 an ounce.
Wow.
So they're worth a lot of money.
How are they being stolen?
So it's super organized. These are not usually freelance thieves. These are thieves that are part of a larger organization. And they go and they scout out the cars. They come in a crew. They're usually armed. One guy will jack up the car. Another guy slides underneath. He slices off the converter using a battery-powered saw, like a Sawzall, right? Mm-hmm. Takes the converter, and they can be in and out of there in like less than a minute if they're good.
Wow, super quick.
Yeah, and then they have other people in that criminal organization that go on to sell it every step of the way, and it ends up at a metal refinery.
So for cars that have more than one catalytic converter, Stephanie, can your car still run smoothly if one of them gets stolen?
No, I think once they slice this off, you're toast. You have to go get it fixed.
You spoke with several Chicagoans who have fallen victim to this kind of theft. I want to hear now from Shannon Kaysen, who was taking care of his ex-wife's Prius when its converter was stolen.
She lives in Detroit, but she left her car here in Chicago because she was driving out, flying out of O'Hare. So I parked her car right here. I dropped her off in her car, her Prius, and left it right here. I go to start her car, and it just sounds terrible. Like a diesel engine or something.
So that's from a video report that the Sun-Times made as part of your investigation. So how does Shannon's story resonate with so many others who are dealing with their cars being targeted?
Yeah, Shannon's story is similar to thousands of people in Chicago to whom this has happened. And he was trying to do a good deed. He was trying to watch his ex-wife's car. And, it happened in his case, he thinks probably in the middle of the night. Nobody heard it, saw it, and even if they had, it wouldn't have made a difference. Mm. If you call the police, these people are gone before anybody can come. And the other interesting thing about Shannon was, like many others, he never filed a police report. So when we talk about 17,000 of these happening in Chicago since 2019, Shannon is not included, as well as a lot of other people.
Wow. Yeah. And let's talk more numbers, right? Because this kind of theft, I mean, it's happening everywhere. This is part of a national problem, but you're calling it an epidemic here in Chicago. So give us more of a sense of just how bad the issue has gotten here in our area.
Yeah, and it is truly a national problem. We shouldn't think that we're anything special here in Chicago, because it is happening in every city, and also in rural areas. I mean, it's not just in the city. It's getting really brazen. I mean, you used to hear about these things happening at night when people were sleeping. Personally, I got woken up out of my sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning to mm-hmm. somebody sawing one right under my window. And by the time I could wake up and have the presence of mind to think to call 911, they were gone.
Was it yours or a neighbor's?
No, it was my neighbor's. Yeah. And I have another neighbor. It's happened to him 3 times.
Wow.
So this is really happening everywhere. And some of the thieves are getting increasingly brazen. Now we're hearing stories of middle of the day. I mean, you see videos on social media of people like walking down the sidewalk, watching people under a car, and that what they're doing is stealing a catalytic converter.
You know, speaking of it happening in the middle of the night, this happened to our Lisa Labas here at WBEZ. Well, not her, but a neighbor. She noticed out the window at 3 or 4 in the morning, a crew stealing a converter from their van. Now, in her case, she called 911, and a couple of squad cars, they showed up almost immediately. You know, the crew had by that point moved down the block. They had taken 2 more converters, to your point earlier of how quickly they do this, right? But this was before cops chased them through Oak Park. And of course, they did not get caught. Is that typically the ending here?
Yeah, that is very typical. Of the 17,806 police reports that I got through FOIA from the Chicago police since 2019, of those over 17,000, 34 were paired with an arrest.
Wow.
So that's a tiny, tiny. Now there are some that have escalated into violence, and so those are not counted in the total. But the police themselves have said this is something that is extremely difficult to solve.
The few that did get caught, how did that happen?
There were some police reports where they were able to get reports from the public, and they knew that there was a pattern of a crew operating in that area, and they were able to stop them and find if they can find enough evidence in their car, like, you know, say 10 sawed off converters, burglary tools, the Sawzall, you know, et cetera, they can try to make a case. And the state's attorney has been trying in some cases to elevate it to a felony, because what they can do is reason that if you take an essential part of the vehicle that makes it inoperable, it's akin to stealing a vehicle. So they can actually charge them with a felony, like stealing a whole car. Because the catalytic converter is so important.
I've heard of cases of it happening all across the city. Humboldt Park, I've heard stories there. Lisa's story happened in Oak Park. But what are some of the worst neighborhoods that you would say have, you know, the most cases of catalytic converter theft?
Yeah, we did a data analysis, and literally every single neighborhood in Chicago is affected by this. There's nobody left untouched. But if you adjust for population, some of the recently, you know, looking, I guess, 2022 up until the middle of May, some of the hot spots were Westtown, Avalon Park, mm-hmm. Irving Park, Logan Square, North Center, Lower West Side, Lincoln Square, Near West Side, Jefferson Park, and Avondale.
So everywhere.
So pretty much everywhere. But that's only a teeny part of the picture, because we have, if you look at the investigation online or in the paper on Sunday, we had maps and we had little tiny dots for all of these 17,000. And it's just like this splotch of red everywhere.
Wow. Well, the example we heard in the tape earlier, he was talking about his ex-wife's Prius, whose converter had been stolen. But which cars are targeted more than others?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the hybrids are targeted. They mm-hmm. have more of, and especially the older Priuses, they contain more of these metals that everybody wants. Also, SUVs get targeted just because they're higher up off the ground. So they're easier for the thief to get underneath.
Yeah. Well, most of these converter thefts are happening, as we've talked about, while the owner is away. But sometimes confrontations between the thief and the owner can escalate to violence. You talked to a 58-year-old man who experienced this in Roscoe Village on the north side, and he didn't want to be named. This was in fear of retaliation. But I do want to play a little bit of what he had to say.
and knew exactly what they were doing right away. And I went out on the porch, hey, get away from my car. And as soon as I said that, they drew a weapon on me, started firing. I was shot twice. I was shot once in the abdomen and once in the foot. It didn't hit any vital organs or anything, but I was extremely lucky.
Wow. That took a turn, right? Tell us more about his story.
Yeah, that's absolutely terrifying. He, like he said, and what you didn't hear was that it was a beautiful sunny day. It was the middle of the afternoon. He had a day off of work, and he was in his backyard with his dogs, and he hears this sound, and he has a Prius, and he knows exactly what's happening. And when he confronted the thieves, they shot him. They shot him twice, and they actually also shot into a tree that he took cover behind, and he thinks wow. that would have really hurt him. He was lucky because none of the wounds, you know, none of the bullets hit his organs. So he spent a night in the hospital, but it was a $40,000 hospital bill.
Wow.
Covered by insurance. But again, okay. You know, I'm a consumer reporter, so I'm always thinking, what are the other downstream effects of this? Mm-hmm. People miss work. They, you know, they have bills to pay. They have car bills to pay.
Absolutely.
And repairs. So he was really traumatized. He's still getting therapy for that. And he just feels like this is not so much a nuisance crime. This is a crime that really affects people, and he wishes more could be done.
Stephanie, what are people doing that's making them so hard to catch?
Yeah, it's super organized. That's what I found fascinating. These are not just freelance thieves. These are organized crime things. So they'll have people that'll go around scouting out the cars. They know which models to look for, where they're parked. In one federal case that was brought last fall, it kind of gave a window into how these criminal gangs operate. And they were so organized. They were providing real-time dynamic commodities pricing on these precious metals to their downstream criminals, who could use an app to see which cars to steal. It was so organized.
Wow.
And so then they, you know, they scout out the cars. These cutter crews come through. These are these armed gangs. They're usually 3 to 4 young males. They are, there's a driver. There's a guy to jack it up. There's a guy to slide underneath and get it. And there's another guy doing security with a gun. From there, they go to middlemen. So they pay the cutters, and the middlemen then take it to these, they're called core buyers. And these are like metal dealers, like scrap metal kind of people that are operating, you know, in a shady sense. And mm-hmm. They're not supposed to buy catalytic converters that are not documented. Like a normal seller would be like, say, an auto shop that had one that they're legitimately selling into the resale market, and it has to be documented. These are shady people that are buying them through these middlemen from the cutter gangs. Those are the people that then decan them. They essentially crush that honeycomb interior, and they get those three precious metals out of it in powder form. By then, you can't tell where it came from. There's no way to trace it back to the original car. They sell the powder to refineries that further refine the metal, and then it goes on to end users who pay a lot of money to use it in industry.
This is big business.
It's
so
way
how
big
much
business.
Are they making from these stolen parts? Like, how much money are we talking here?
Right. So the entire enterprise, like this one case that the FBI and the Justice Department announced last fall, this is a coast-to-coast operation that went from California to New Jersey. They took in $545 million.
Wow.
That's almost half $1 billion in people's stolen catalytic converters. It's crazy. In terms of the cutters themselves, those guys that you see on the street cutting it off your car, depending on the model, they're probably making anywhere from a few $100 to, I've been told, up to $1,500 if they get a really good one.
Wow.
But they're working all night. You know, they take 10, 15 of them. Those guys are making pretty good money.
So tell us how to protect ourselves. What can we do?
Yeah, well, you should try to park in a garage if you can. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
Another idea is to put some kind of identifying marking on the converter. And there are police that sometimes have events, or you can go to your mechanic. This really only helps you, though, if they've already stolen it. So if you have some kind of a number put on there and you keep track of that number and somebody unfortunately takes your converter, you can go to the police and you can say it has this number on it. So if they recover it, they can match it back to you, and then they have a victim, and then they have a way to charge these people with a crime. The mechanic that we interviewed in the piece, and he's in the video too, he suggested getting an aftermarket shield. And it's not the clamp that has the cables, because if he said if you put that on, they actually do more damage. They'll cut a bigger section out of your car to get the clamp and the cables. He said to get the shield. It's like a large, flat metal shield, and they're sold online. You have to buy it for the model of car that you have, so it fits. Take it to a mechanic, and they can bolt it on. And he said those are so intimidating to the thieves because they'd have to cut through this huge thing, and that they tend to see that, and they just go on to the next car. So the shield is the way to go.
What are city leaders doing to maybe step up efforts against this? Because, I mean, it's so widespread at this point.
It really is. And we talked to Chicago police. We talked to Cook County Sheriff, State's Attorney, talked to Illinois Secretary of State, Police, FBI, all those people. You know, the city police, they say it's just so hard to catch these people in the act. They say that they don't dismiss this. It's just merely a property crime because they understand the violence associated with it. And they're all working on a, you know, how to get their arms around this. The Secretary of State Police Lieutenant that we talked to said that they've tried bait cars. Mm-hmm. They've tried surveilling parking areas. They've even tried undercover operations where they go into the scrap metal dealers trying to sell them converters and hopefully catch them. And it's been really hard because these criminal gangs are locked down pretty tight. They know who's who. And if somebody else just shows up trying to sell a converter, they know that that's not one of them. You know, they're trying. The police say that people can help by continuing to file reports. Don't get the sense that, you know, it's not worth doing because it does help them establish a pattern. And then they can, you know, and they are aware of several gangs that are doing this. So
file a report. Don't try to confront them.
Oh, yeah,
yourself.
Definitely don't try to confront them because of the guns and the violence and the potential for violence.
We'll have to leave it there. Chicago Sun-Times consumer investigations reporter Stephanie Zimmerman. Now, you can read her full story at chicago.suntimes.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This episode of Reset was produced by Michael Liptrot, and it was edited by Andrew Merriweather and Stephanie Kim. And speaking of converters, have you converted yourself into a Reset newsletter subscriber? Well, if not, you are missing out. Get all the big headlines here in Chicago and Illinois, and have the chance to join in on the conversation. Go to wbez.org/resetnews to sign up. That's a wrap for Reset. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you this afternoon.